Astral Entity Attachments and Infestations, Part 1. Hello, my dear friends, I hope you are doing very well, happy and strong. Thank you for joining me for another video. I am Marie Swaru. First of all, this subject is very large, it is one of my favorite ones, and I feel it is very important, especially because there is so little information about astral entities on Earth, mostly because most of it is heavily controlled by the cabal of Earth, and by their religions, therefore not of public domain. The general population is left only with anecdotal and empirical knowledge coming from the people who have studied this phenomenon, and with whatever filters down from the controllers, leaving the people with hardly any hard evidence and scientific data on the subject. Needless to say, science on Earth is incapable of objectively studying this phenomenon as well as anything that has to do with the astral realms or with the ether, as it doesn't even exist for them. Yet for non-human science such as the Taijiatun one, this subject, astral entities and astral realms, is a fully accepted scientific subject to study and there is a lot of data about it. So I will continue to share whatever I can about this vast subject, adding to the videos I have already published about it. Each creature, such as Lyrian humans, or any other, has a limited range of perception that is dictated by the capacity of their physical senses. But if they cannot see or perceive something, it doesn't mean it is not there and does not exist. Same way, human technology cannot detect anything in the astral, or very limitedly, like when using sensitive infrared cameras, while Taijiatun and other star races' technology can, and very effectively. So for star races with high technology, the astral is not an esoteric theory and everything there is very real, and can be studied very objectively. Everything that exists holds a vibration, and that is the oscillations per unit of time that energy particles have, and that dictates how they form matter and mass, as well as the different types of energy that we know about. To be able to perceive or detect anything in any vibrational range, the vibration must be equalized, or be the same, much as when you tune into a radio station where you can start to listen to that specific music being transmitted there, while ignoring and not perceiving what all the other radio stations are transmitting, knowing that although we cannot hear them, it doesn't mean that they are not there. The same thing happened for existential realms such as the astral, it's there, but people, in general, cannot perceptually tune into its specific frequency. Therefore they cannot see or perceive what is in it. When two things or two beings are not sharing the same vibration and frequency at all, they become incompatible and they ignore each other as if they weren't even there. They become mutually unreachable and with no influence on each other. But when there is some part or some compatible frequency range two things or beings share, influence can happen. Two or more very different and very incompatible beings that hold very different vibrations may influence each other when some part of them is the same as the one of the other. For example, a psychopath and a positive starseed hold very different existential frequencies and vibes, but you as the observer may be able to spot them both walking past each other in the street because some part of them holds the same frequency, the one human bodies have, as an example. They mainly share the same experimental realm of existence, 3D Earth and its matrix, but although they could physically touch each other, their mentality and their personal worlds differ so much that basically, one does not exist in the reality of the other, unless something forces them to interact, and that something will also end up being a vibrational match for both, for one or another reason. And that small vibrational match corridor among them both is a piece of their personal worlds where there is compatibility. It can be a taste for some kind of food, or activity, but it can be as simple as having similar thoughts and ideas. And it is through those small compatibility corridors that the world of the one can filter and influence the one of the other, so they can be very dangerous. This is how a heavily narcissistic person can enter the life of a positive starseed, and using its manipulator methods, the narcissist can manipulate and even control the starseed, exploiting its attributes to its advantage, making them become weaknesses. For example, exploiting the starseed's highly empathetic nature. Lower astral entities work in the exact same way. They can enter the lives of someone in the world of the living using any little bit of frequency compatibility they may share, especially when the astral entity has something to gain from doing that. The astral is full of entities of all kinds, and it is impossible to describe them all as it is an entire zoo, and not everything is known about them all, so as I go along making videos I will be addressing the more common ones and the most problematic ones first. The most common ones and the ones that produce most of the problems are simply astral parasites. They are and behave exactly as physical, biological parasites do. They are only animals, similar to a leech or a worm, and they feed from the energy of their victims in different ways. When observed with sensitive non-human instrumentation, many of them have a jellyfish shape, like a blob or a blurry stain, and can be big or small. They can be attached to the aura, or energy field of a living person in a single way or in a swarm. The next common type is the larger and more complex astral entity that can have innumerable shapes, including the humanoid one, and can be very intelligent to the point where they can even develop their social dynamics and politics among their kind. These are very common and they can be very dangerous. Entire books can be written about them, and have been written about them. And on Earth it is usually this category that is associated with demons and evil presences, but not only. Then we have disincarnated people, the echo of lost souls who have lost their way back to source or are taking a lot of time to realize that they are no longer alive. This happens a lot because they have strong attachments to things and aspects of the world of the living and they are not willing or able to let go of them. Souls that are so afraid of being punished for the bad actions they made when alive, that they refuse to go back into the afterlife's higher realms, preferring to lurk in the echo of the physical world, in the coarse caricature of it known as the lower astral. This type is the one most associated with ghosts and apparitions, although there can be many causes for these. Astral leeches and parasites mostly feed from lower emotional energy and the fear of their victims, having little to no connection to source. These sorts of creatures are thought to be egregore-type manifestations their victims create, or as the result of the manifestation of the larger collective unconscious the victim is immersed in. They are thought patterns that are taking a physical form because of their strength and consistency. The problem with this kind of astral entity, as well as with the larger, more complex kind which is also believed to be the result of an egregore-type creation, is that they are very difficult to get rid of. If the living victim does not remove what it is interested in, whatever activity, thing or food they consume, or thought pattern that the entity wants. For example, in the case of alcohol abuse or drug consumption, the entity will telepathically influence the victim it is attached to guide and influence it to continue to consume the alcohol or the drugs the entity desires. This is very typical in the case of people who have an alcohol or drug problem because many disincarnated spirits attach themselves to the living victim to benefit from the alcoholic or drug effects through the body of the living victim. Remember, alcoholic beverages are usually called spirits, and that is for a reason. And because of this strong telepathic influence, it will be very difficult for the victim to get rid of the astral attachments and parasites, unless the victim is strong enough to remove whatever is the entity's motivation long enough. For example, completely quitting those drugs for a long time, the longer the better, although beware that there will always be some kind of latency remaining, where the same entity or another similar one may reattach themselves to the living victim if the conditions are right. One of the manipulator and control strategies entities use a lot on their victims is inducing the need for instant gratification and dopamine release, such as the one found while drinking, watching adult content, or overeating sugar and simple carbohydrates, among many others. The victim falls into wanting instant gratification over more constructive and harder to obtain, and much greater benefits that are the result of focused effort with a clear objective, such as personal improvement, or a collective goal that benefits the many, with this falling into an auto-destructive dynamic and vicious circle. This will also cause an associated thought pattern in their victims where they cannot wait for what they want, needing it immediately and impatiently, causing the living victim to settle for whatever is at hand and in front of them now, instead of waiting patiently and working hard for a more desirable and convenient thing or outcome. For example, impatiently settling for a lollipop now, instead of waiting for a whole meal and cake in 1 or 2 hours. To be continued in the second part. Thank you for watching my video and for liking and subscribing for more. And I hope to see you here next time, and that is tomorrow if you also speak Spanish, or the day after tomorrow for English again. With much love. Your friend, Marie Suarez.